Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 28, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 4, and we are at page 44, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Larry K., Deb W., and Michelle H. The reference number for Tuesday, January 27th, is 7237. That's 7237. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sue G. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, it's Sue G. Grateful in Pennsylvania. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's
thank you, Sue G. I will now ask Anita L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Anita L., recovered for today by the grace of God from Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers.
Anita, we lost you. Please press star 1.
Katie. This is Melanie. I can pick up.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you for stepping in. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 44, paragraph 2. I will ask Larry K. to begin reading.
Thanks, Katie. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thank you for your service. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience showed that you need not be disconcerted. So, you know, I certainly can identify with this. You know, I tried to avoid the issue, you know, coming into OA. And as it, you know, talks about in the second paragraph, but, it, you know, it isn't so difficult. I'll tell you what, it sure seemed difficult for me when I came into OA. And it says, you know, it gives me some comfort that about half of our original fellowship were of exactly that type. You know, I imagine those numbers probably still hold true even beyond the first 100. And, you know, I can relate to trying to avoid the issue because I grew up in a home that was, we worshiped at the altar of education and data and, you know, and just getting it done, you know, and we really valued education. That was just part of my family, part of my, I suppose, cultural heritage in a sense. When I come in here, you know, and I really concede to my innermost self that I am a true alcoholic, I hoped against hope at first that I wasn't I didn't have this alcoholic mind, but you know, the disease beat me down. And after a while I had to face the fact, you know, cause they talked about finding a spiritual basis of life or else. And for me, spiritual, the word had a connotation of religion. And I wasn't terribly comfortable with that when I came in. I knew people that had religion, it seemed, and I certainly had an awareness of this notion of God. But, you know, I certainly did not have any sort of personal relationship or access in a way that I could live my life more effectively. And you know, so perhaps that is, you know, the way with you, you know, but it says cheer up. you know, well, here I am, 100 pounds heavier than I am now, you know, with my life an absolute mess, this disease wrapping its tentacles around my, you know, my neck and squeezing. And so I'm going to cheer up. Well, you know, what's there to be so cheery about? But, you know, this notion of agnostics, we without knowledge, you know, I didn't have knowledge. I believed that there was perhaps a power, but I didn't have knowledge. And, you know, my experience today shows that, you know, don't be too disconcerted about that issue, you know, because I worked through the steps. At some point, the disease convinced me to work through this practical program of action. And when I did, over time, I had a spiritual awakening of the educational variety. And today, I'm able to live my life not only putting the food down and not for many, many 24 hours, not having to pick up the food, but, you know, to have peace and serenity and to be the type of person that has been touched by this higher power, you know, of my own conception. You know, I'll just finish up by saying that we come in here and we don't know what we don't know. And I didn't know that I was, that this higher power that I call God was about to change my life in ways that I could not have even imagined. And all I had to do was subject myself to this practical program of action. Stop debating. Thanks, Katie, for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry. Okay, who would like to comment on the second paragraph that was read, but it isn't so difficult?
This is Vasa. I'd like to share.
Okay, Vasa. Anyone else?
Anita J.
This is Beth. Michelle.
That M.
Okay, I have Vasa, Anita J, Bella, and Matt M. We'll go with those four, please.
Yes, I'm Vasa. Here. Thank you for your service. And I am Vasa, calling from Florida, and I'm grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Larry, for your service. I'm just getting familiar with all these people, the names. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And I was ashamed to admit I was agnostic to the atheistic mind because my father was a pastor. And for me to admit that was very shameful. And especially at the meetings, you know, even though I had my spiritual experience with God, it was hard for me to talk about God. But anyways, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, and that was me. And further down the second paragraph says, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up, something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostic. And I found really comfort to hear that half of us, or half of the people that will come into the program, we are agnostic, you know. And for me to really to believe and trust in God, somehow I felt I needed a proof. I needed to see, to touch, to believe, you know. And somehow I was stuck in that, you know. And I remember, you know, growing up when things were not going very well in our house, I remember saying to God, God, where are you? You know, where are you? You know, if you're there, then why don't you just come down and put an order in this household, you know? And then growing up also in a communist country, being, you know, I was torn. I didn't know. I was confused. And I thank God that the food brought me on my knees. Otherwise, I would have been still floundering around there. I don't know where I would be today. But, you know, I was brought on my knees because of my food addiction. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Anita J., you're up.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Anita J., a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And the first surprise when I went to my first Overeaters Anonymous meeting was a big book standing up. You know, they had that propped open, and I thought I was going to OA. And then the speaker kept talking about God. Now I realize, wasn't that fantastic? She knew what the program was about, but I didn't understand then. And I first thought, oh, that's their gimmick, God. But I tell you, the way I have grown in that area, it's amazing. Because what OA showed me was the difference between religion and spirituality. Religion, you know, showing up at church on a certain day or doing this or doing that, never got me abstinent, never got me peace of mind, never got me any direction in my life. But spirituality, which is what I've gotten from the 12 steps, that's an entirely different story. It's a model for living, and I guess it's what it was all supposed to be about. And not just with the food. I mean, it's been a miracle. I've been abstinent many times in Overeaters Anonymous and broken it many, many times. But this abstinence is an abstinence that nothing can touch as long as I keep doing what is required of me. You know, my husband has been in a hospital and now a rehab since January 5th, and I've been walking my walk here, you know, without seeing, well, I see him once in a while, but the point is nothing touches this, nothing. Somebody flew in and I took her fifth step from another state. I just keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and his job is to get better, and my job is to serve God to the best of my ability in all areas. That's what I got out of this program. I certainly didn't get that when I was a lecturer for one of those national weight loss places. But that's all right. They didn't know. But I know now, and I wish I could tell everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita. Bella, you're up.
Did you say Bella?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, such a wonderful paragraph. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Yes, a spiritual basis of life. Before I was in the program, I grew up in a religious home. I was religious, but I didn't have a spiritual basis at all. I thought I had, but I don't. For me, God was, you know, something very big, very high for me, and he's responsible of the whole entire world. But my weight, my life is all about me. My life was, the basis of my life was my ego, my power, my control. And yes, when I wasn't successful, it's because God is punishing me, because I didn't do his will. Oh, and I was afraid from God. I thought in a certain way I am in competition with God. Oh yes, you God, you are so good. I can be good too. About my weight, well, I don't have the willpower. and God doesn't like it, so this is why I am getting heavier and heavier. And when I came to the program, when I heard God, I still didn't like it because, you know, nobody will tell me who is God. I know exactly who is God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I continue to with the program. And now, yes, I believe and accept that my life has to be on the basis of a spiritual way. Yes, today I accept and admit that my overweight, my food, is only a symptom. And yes, to get to continue with a happy life, to continue to live in freedom. Yes, today I know and I believe that I need a spiritual basis. Today God is my Father, my King, my loving power, and this is the basis of life. Today I know I don't have power and I don't need the power. Today I know that I have one power to choose the right choice one day at a time. And it's okay to do mistakes. And God accepts my mistakes because I am human and I am powerless. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Matt M., your turn.
Hello, can you hear me, Katie?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. Bella Visionaries. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater from New Jersey in the East Coast. Wow, this is a really powerful paragraph. You know, for me, coming to believe, it's been a very bumpy road. You know, I grew up, you know, with the God of the vengeful God and a church with beautiful stained glass windows and all this wonderful stuff, but I really didn't believe that I belonged in that church. And then I finally got cocky to think that I was better than God. I didn't need to know God. You know, I could do it better without him, you know, and he doesn't need me. I don't need him, you know. And I used to, if anybody was coming on this meeting really early, they'd probably think it's religious, but it took me forever to finally make the distinction. Spiritual and religion are two different things. And I was so angry for so long at God and the rest of the world because I couldn't get thin. I couldn't get what I wanted out of life, you know. I couldn't rest at the whole entire world. I couldn't get a single drop of pleasure. And the food was not pleasurable after so long. But it's amazing that I used to think I was agnostic, but I'm not agnostic. I never really was agnostic. I'm realizing that my arrogance and pride were getting in the way of me having a spiritual experience and having a God of my understanding. It's funny, I just happened to pick the topic of pride from another book in the index of another piece of OA literature, and this is so apropos with this paragraph. I'm finally setting aside my pride because pride comes before a fall, you know, and I don't want to lose any semblance of recovery that I found because I am working the program, but, you know, there's going to be good days and bad days like everybody experiences them. And I'm finally starting to learn. I still have a long way to go. I'm still a baby and crawling when it comes to learning how to live each one day at a time. And just because I've been in the program 7 years does not mean I have it all together. And I never really will. I believe I'm always going to be a compulsive overeater to the day I die. And just for today, I'm willing to be honest. So a couple days ago, I really wasn't being honest with myself completely about some things. And now I'm finally getting right with my higher power. And I really had a nice fun talk with him this morning. I said, you know what? You know, you take the day today. I'm just going to leave it up to you. I'll take the actions of making my afternoon food, and you take whatever else is going on away off of me if you can. So that'll pass.
Thank you, Matt. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Mary.
Hi, this is Julie R.
Papia.
Kim M.
W.
Melissa C.
Judy S.
Mary B.
Okay. Oh, dear. Okay, I heard Mary. A. Okay, I heard Mary and I'm sorry. Can you say your names again, please? I just
Julie.
Everybody's name is
Rapia.
Melissa.
Julie.
Mary
B.
Rapia.
Judy.
Kim M.
And the first one was Mary A. Okay, so So there's a Mary A and a Mary B?
Yeah.
And Kim M.
Kim M. Okay, let's just go with those. I'm sorry it's not in the order that you set them, but this is just going to be Mary B, Julie R, Rabia, Sarah W, Kim M, and Mary A. Okay, go ahead, Mary B.
Thank you, Katie. And good morning, everybody. This is Mary B. from California, but in Arizona today. So instead of 4 a.m., it's 5 a.m. Very grateful to be on this morning and really need to be an active member of A Vision for You. I am in the process and grateful to be a very low bottom compulsive eater. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I had the God of punishment, and that was all I had heard growing up. Religious practice was not important in my family, but I was always told that God will punish you. God will punish you. And I would not call myself agnostic or atheist. I really never gave much thought to it, but I would call myself confused. I came in confused, but I know that when I saw what I saw in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, the people who shared their spiritual experiences and about this thing called God, I knew I wanted it. I wanted it. And so I just started off doing whatever was suggested to me to do, whether it was reading a book or I joined a church. I went to groups. I just did whatever they did, including, of course, working the steps and going through the steps so many times. And it took a long time. I was a very slow learner. It took a very long time. And it's only in the most recent years that I took that power from out there and brought it within. And I like my relationship with my higher power today. I really do. I'm very grateful for the relationship that I have with my higher power as a result of working this program over and over again. But I have this thing called, or that I call, divine discontent. And I know it can be better. I know that there's more. And so I have found myself in the rooms of A Vision for You, and I'm going through this process, and I'm looking forward to learning more, to doing more, to being more, and I just want you all to know how much I appreciate what I have found here. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mary. Okay, Julie R., you're up.
Hi, this is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater from California. And thank you, Katie, for your service. There's a few things I wanted to point out with the first few words, but it isn't so difficult. I, too, was raised with a God that I definitely wouldn't go to for help with my food. And I always felt that I knew I believed in God, but I was agnostic in certain areas of my life. It's like I knew it was there, but I didn't believe it could help me in certain situations. I was raised in a very kind of dichotomy where it was a very religious / Native American / they canceled each other out for fear. And then the next paragraph I want to talk about for the sentence is that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. It doesn't say religion. And that was really key for me when I started getting into the big book. It has nothing to do with religion. It is a spiritual life. It's the God of my understanding. And it's so clear, or else. Or else what? Or else I'll get back into the food. or else I'll start living dishonestly, or else I'll spend more than I make, or else I'll do inappropriate behavior. It is so clear that I must do this or else. And today, you know, I get it. I finally get it. I give everything to my Creator. My life has transformed. And it is a miracle. I mean, the weight loss is, you know, great, you bet. But I am not this dishonest, manipulative, vengeful woman today. I want to be of service. I want to, you know, give to my husband. I want to give to my employees. I want to give to others around me. And that's not who I normally am. I mean, I was raised with a God that I felt left me in an abusive home. I surely didn't want that God. So I was able to have my own. And it was one of my heritage, which I'm very blessed. But again, it says you must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And I am so glad that I have found that through working the steps and being with other like-minded people that have this disease but are living in the solution. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie R. And now Rabia is up to share on this paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Rabia. I am a compulsive overeater from New York, Rabia M. And at first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. That's me. Today is day 9. Thank you, God, returning from relapse. And I've been in OA for 3.5 decades. And this last relapse has cracked open my denial and the lie of my disease, which is that I'm only a compulsive overeater. I'm only a real compulsive overeater when I'm fat. And once I lose the weight, I have arrived. And I'm not that bad a compulsive overeater anymore. Then I shift into diet mentality, which I've lived in my whole life. Since my earliest memory, I've been on a diet and I've lied about my food. I've cheated on every diet, and nobody has ever known everything that I've eaten. And so when I get thin, then I shift into what can I get away with? And so I pick up foods that I can eat a lot of and not gain that much weight. And so my weight will start going up and down 2 pounds. But as long as I look good to you and as long as you see the glow of recovery in me, because now I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, and I'm sponsoring and I'm meditating and I'm really happy because I'm thin, but I'm still either overeating or restricting, dieting, because that's what I know how to do to perfection. And so as long as I'm getting away with it, and it's not showing, I don't have to tell you what I'm eating. And so it works for a while, and it works, and then it doesn't work because it blew up on me 2 weekends ago. And thank God, because I couldn't hide anymore the 8 pounds that I gained in 2 days. And so I'm so grateful that I see the lie I've been living in, that I am a real food addict. I do lie about my food. That's the nature of being an addict. I'm a liar when it comes to my food. I don't have to be that anymore because I'm telling the truth now about my food and that I've been lying all these years, and there's no shame attached to it. That's the gift. I've been so ashamed to be able to admit that. And now I see it's just part of the disease. We're liars. I cheat and I steal around my food, and so does every other addict on this planet. I'm not unique, and I'm so grateful to beginning this process again in step one, and more will be revealed. And thank you so much for sharing. I pass.
Thank you, Rabia. Okay, Sarah W., you're up.
Good morning, Katie. This is Sarah W. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone on the line. I'm from Iowa, very grateful, recovered. I just wanted to hone in. You know, I think everybody really shared beautifully on this. I think it is really hard to admit that, you know, we are, you know, truly an addict. You know, I am truly an addict. That does not go away. It will not go away. And that, you know, I have to do a lot of things to maintain sobriety, whether it be emotional, spiritual, physical, all those things. And I've been raising grandchildren for the past almost 10 years, and my granddaughter's almost 14, and she's very unhappy and wants to go back to her mother. And the only reason I bring this up is because this is what the program's about, you know. It's really coming to a head, and the reality is that this is life. Life happens. I would like my granddaughter to stay with me and help her through the rest of the years of her high school and that, but that may not be what God's plan is. And for me, you know, it says the word must in here. You know, I've probably been up since about 4:30 this morning, just really meditating and praying. I took some time in a room by myself, and, you know, I want to do God's will. I'm not looking to get my needs met or what I want. You know, I want what's best for her, what's best for our family, and I know that that's what my higher power would want. And, you know, the idea of, first of all, there are 123 musts in this book, and we have a must right here, and I think it's an important one. And, you know, in my book, the spiritual means of the spirit, soul, or distinguished. This is from the big book, Concordance or a Dictionary. Distinguished most, distinguished from the bodily or material matters, so relating to what is traditionally believed to be vital principle or animating force within living things. Relating to or consisting of or affecting the spirit, not composed of matter, not perceptible, especially by touch, of or from or pertaining to God, deity, or higher power, of or belonging to church or religion, metaphysical and supernatural. So anyway, I'm very grateful to have a higher power today and to know that that is where I'm going to need to put my trust. And, you know, I would say, you know, we're not on the third step, we're on the second, but the acronym for trust is try really using step three, and that's what I'm doing. God bless you all, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Sarah W. Kim M., you're up.
Good morning. This is Kim M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Texas. Thank you for letting me share. In this paragraph, they talk about we would have to develop a spiritual basis. And when I first heard that, when I first came into the program, I was thinking, God's the answer? Well, I have God already. Oh, man, you know, and so I was like, I guess I didn't know what I was expecting. But I think, and I came in and out of program, and I think what happened is that I got so desperate and so tired of overeating and so tired of crying myself to sleep that I was willing, or God helped me to develop a different kind of relationship with Him. And I think that's what saved my life, because I was basically using God as my sugar daddy. You know, God, I want this job, get it for me. God, I want this house, get it for me. I want kids, get it for me, you know. And then when my spiritual awakening came, when I was going through step four, and all of my resentments and all of the things that we have to do in that process was situations that I created myself because what I was doing was none of my business and people were retaliating. So whenever I feel myself going into, you know, let me tell you how you should be living your life, Kim's way, I read pages 60 through 63 and remember that I'm not running the show, and Lord help us all if Kim ever had to run the show. And that's what saved my life, and I'm very grateful for that because I had God all those years, but I didn't have him the way it should have been. And now I live a life of service. I don't try to control my sister's lives. And once I started accepting my sisters for who they were, and they started accepting me for who I am, I just have this fantastic relationship with them. And it's like, wow. And when they ask for advice, I look at them and I say, dear, that's none of my business. But I know that God will give you the answer. And, you know, let's pray about it, or I'll be praying for you. So thank you very much for letting me share, and you guys have a great day.
Okay, Mary A., your turn. Thank you, Kim M. Mary A., press star 1 to unmute. Okay, well, let's see. Is there anybody else who would like to share on this paragraph? I know I missed some people last time.
I am here, finally.
Okay, Mary A., go ahead. Just wait 1 second. Let's see if there's others after you.
Eddie W., I would like to share.
Leah C. Okay, I heard Betty W. and Leah, and then who from California?
Rakesit.
Melissa C.
Rakesit.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Mary A., Betty W., Leah, Rakesit, and Melissa. And hopefully that buzzing will go away. Go ahead, Mary A. Okay, Betty W., please go ahead.
I'm here, but it's the buzzing.
Okay. If everyone
Katie,
here does not speak. Yes.
Katie, we do need to make sure that everybody is muted, and I think it is coming from Mary A.'s phone, and I'm trying my best.
Okay, Betty W., let's go ahead with you, and then we'll come back to Mary A.
Okay, it's not my phone.
Hello,
it's
this
Mary.
Is Betty.
This is Mary.
It is coming from Mary A.'s phone, so we need to probably work on that one for sure. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Betty W., go ahead, and then we'll come back to Mary A.
For a very long time, and thank you for allowing me to read today, for a very long time, I didn't like this chapter because I felt I had always believed in God and was raised in a culture that was religious and fostered a belief in God. But I had a very limited knowledge of God, even though I felt I didn't. And it wasn't until I came into a vision for you that I really understood this. My enlarged ego and arrogant feelings of my own knowledge, I thought my relationship with Hashem was a very strong one. But I didn't feel that I could ask him for help with my food. And I didn't think I could ask him for help for things that were important to me. I thought that was selfish. Well, now, since I've been in OA and in working the OA program and several different models of it since 1994, I know today that I can ask God for help with anything. God was trying to let me know who he was more and more, because when I came into OA, I came in on July 4th, which is Freedom Day. And since I have been in OA, I began on a fact-finding process, starting with step one, because that's when I learned I was powerless over food, and I know that's a fact. I'm a critical level compulsive overeater and undereater, and the fact is that my life is unmanageable without food. And, you know, the facts are I cannot do this program under my own gnosis or knowledge, nor under my own self-reliance. The fact is that I can only do this with God at the forefront and with the 12 steps as my spiritual guide to live on a daily basis. And I'm so grateful for the speaker yesterday and the speakers today who stressed the fact that this chapter, We Agnostics, is a chapter that that deals with a lack of knowledge. Because as many times as I've read that, I didn't get that. And now I have a whole different attitude toward this chapter. And I'm just so grateful. And thank you for leading and for everyone on the line. And I'll end it with that. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Betty W. And let's try to go back to Mary A.
I'm here. It's Mary. Can you hear
me? Okay, we hear you, yes.
And I'm on a new telephone. I've never had the buzzing before, so I don't know what it was. But good morning, everybody. It's Mary A. from New Jersey. You must find a spiritual life or else. And, you know, I think of, let me just start my timer. I tend to talk too much. And I can't think of the names right now, but I think of when our co-founders, you know, were starting and they came to the hospital and it was a very, a real alcoholic. But he was a very religious man. And, you know, the man said to them, you know, I'm so spiritual, I'm so religious. I mean, I know so much more than you. How could you possibly help me? And they said to them, you know, it's true. You may know a lot more about God and have had spiritual experiences and everything, but who's the drunk here? I mean, you are drunk. And it's true. You know what I mean? He, with his faith and his religion, he was not able to get sober in that. And that's my journey. Many of you have heard my story, you know. When you come into the world, and I don't blame my mother, she had already had four girls, did not want a girl. But in her sick mind, when she conceived me, she put a death wish on me and said, you know, if it's a girl, I don't want her. How could I possibly be normal my whole life? So I know that when I look back at my journey that I have suffered from this all my life. But my mom gave me two things. She gave me a faith and a higher power in God, and she gave me life. Even if she wanted to, God intervened and he got his way. And I'm so glad I'm a woman. I love being a woman. So my faith journey went, and you know, it wasn't until I was 18 I had a personal encounter with a living God. And I experienced for the next 40 years things that most people don't. I have been very blessed with every spiritual experience I can imagine. I have been prayed with people who are dying or sick, and I have seen them get better. I have just been so blessed. But when it came to the food, when the prayer groups, people in my church would pray over me, I would get abstinence for a short while. But finally, when I was going into a nursing home, being crippled by this disease, that I was led to the room and came here. And this is where God, all these things that I have encountered in my own faith, but it was through the steps that I really was able to really get an anchor on things like resentment is the number one offender. And so in the rooms, I have really been able to battle this disease. But fortunately, my experience has never been a punishing God, but a loving God. And I tell so many people, you know, God loves me whether I'm in the food or out of the food. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much, Mary. And Leah M., you're up.
Thanks so much, Katie. This is Leah M., recovered compulsive overeater. But it isn't so difficult. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. You know, the title of this chapter is We Agnostics, you know, We Without Knowledge. And that was certainly true for someone like me. I mean, I just had no development in this area. That was how I was coming in. You know, we talk about children or, you know, people who are physically underdeveloped or emotionally underdeveloped. I was spiritually undeveloped. I had no understanding of the spiritual realm. Yes, I had accumulated perhaps some facts, you know, during my childhood, but there was no relationship going on. So, you know, here I am cornered by this illness. The first paragraph on this page, you know, made it very simple. Leah, have you been able to quit compulsively overeating entirely left to your own resources? And to that I could say, absolutely not. Then it asked me another question. Leah, do you have any control over the amount you eat after you start eating a certain substance, your trigger substances? And the answer to that was absolutely not. So the big book tells me, hey, Leah, you are cornered. You've got this twofold illness, and the only thing that will conquer it is a spiritual experience. So then someone like me who has no spiritual development could feel very, you know, hopeless because I'm beyond human aid. And if I place myself beyond human aid, then even the fellowship, which was so warm and inviting, will not bring about my recovery from compulsive overeating. So if I'm going to recover, the power is going to have to come from a source other than just the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. And thank God, you know, Bill W. was a real alcoholic, and thank God he knew how someone like me was going to feel when I got here. That, you know, based on old ideas, it would seem impossible for me to take this leap into a realm, a world that I had little or no experience with. So this chapter is going to give me and gave me some new ideas so I could discard my old ideas, which were very limiting, and be open to some new ideas. And the bottom line is that when I came here, I did make a decision. I decided, and it wasn't out of any virtue, it was out of pain. Out of pain, I decided to base my life on the assumption that if it's in the big book, it's true as far as I'm concerned. And this eliminated massive amounts of doubt and insecurity for me and allowed me to proceed with on sure footing, that these men and women had been restored to sanity, the obsession of the mind had been driven out, and they were now free. And with that goal in mind, I proceeded. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. And Rakepit, I'm sorry, you will be our last person for today. And Melissa, if you could please stick around for the second hour. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Rakepit, recovered compulsive overeater in California. And I grew up in a house where no mention of God, there was no mention. My parents never uttered the word, never spoke about it. My father was a Holocaust survivor, and he, of course, never, never wanted anything to do with God. So I was a fat kid all my life. And 50 years ago when I was in school, there weren't that many fat kids, but I was fat, and it really, really affected me. I got teased all the time. I just internally took in all this pain that there's something wrong with me. And I came to believe that God was punishing me by being fat. I had been a bad person or had done something bad, and so I was being punished by God. God was making me fat, making me love food, so I couldn't put it down. And I really believed that, because how else could I explain that every other kid almost was a normal size and happy-go-lucky, and I was miserable. I was miserable with my weight. And then when I came into program 16 years ago, they told me that I had to ask God to help me with my food. And the dichotomy for me was unbelievable. Here, I'm supposed to go to a God that I believe caused my misery all my life, and I'm supposed to ask God to remove my obsession and help me. So, you know, I acted as if I did it, whatever. But it took me 15 years in program to finally, slowly, very, very slowly, accept God in my heart, accept that there is a power greater than mine that's going to help me with my food, because there is no power. And I love what a couple of speakers on this line said sometimes, that if you have a mean and vengeful God, you have to fire your God. You have to get a new God. Get a new God. And that's what I had to do, get a new God that's completely different than any God I thought was punishing me. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Rickett. And thank you to everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Deb W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Deb W., Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.